Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the songs that we sang. And Father, may we think of the words every time we sing. We pray that Thou wouldst bless our time here. We thank Thee for everyone that's here. We got some first-time folks here. We pray that none would go away hungry. Lord, I do not know the heart's need of anybody, but Thou dost know. And I pray that whatever is needed would be met. I pray for strength, for health. Ask that Thou wouldst undertake, Lord, for our time in Thy Word now. And I pray I would not go as fast as I did this morning. We pray that Thou wouldst get glory to Thyself through it all, and we'll give Thee the praise for it. Lord, I ask again that I be clean before Thee, sins confessed, forsaken, be filled with the Spirit, Lord, even now, and just a mouthpiece. In Jesus' name. This morning we looked at Jesus' religious trial. And the Jews tried to accuse Him of blasphemy. But in order to blaspheme, He had to actually speak the name of Christ, in name of God, in a situation. And Jesus said, "I am that Messiah. You said it. You said it. You said it." So the Jews kind of leave upset because they can't get rid of Jesus. So now they're going to take Him to Pilate. It's the civil trial now. They needed Judas Iscariot. As we said, Judas Iscariot was the one who got Jesus apart from the multitude. He was the one who went to Pilate to begin with to get that Roman cohort of the soldiers to come arrest Jesus. And now he is needed as the chief witness in this trial. Trouble is, dead men don't talk. And he has committed suicide. The Jews did everything illegal. You saw that this morning. Even against their own laws. The 22 laws they broke. Dealing with Jesus in an illegal way. They took Him into the temple compound there to try to make it official. While they're there, that's where Peter denies the Lord. If you're looking at that chronologically right there. And then right after that, Judas dies. And chronologically now, it brings us to the civil trial. I will try not to go as fast this morning. I try to give the references so you can look it up. And if you have a harmony of the Gospels, you know, just you can check it out. But if you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 18, okay, 18, verse 28, we will begin. Now, this is Roman trial now, not the Jewish trial. This is the Roman trial. And Romans had different rules, one of which was all trials must be public. Well, the Jews had that, but they broke that. But the trials for the Rome started with a prosecution and then the defense, just opposite of how the Jews did things. But now they're in that hall of judgment, of the the praetorium. As you read this, you say, wait a minute, it said they were in the hall of judgment. Yeah, but that is, you look at the Greek word there, it's Sanhedrin. It's the Sanhedrin, their council. Now this is in the Greek word praetorium. This is the Gentile hall of judgment now. Okay, so they have taken Him over for this trial before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate ruled from A.D. 26 to A.D. 36 over Israel there. And so this is right in the middle of his time of ruling. So in John 18, verse 28, they led Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. That's praetorium, the Gentile building. And it was early, and they themselves went into the judgment hall. They went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Now, isn't that interesting how religious people get so religious? Religious people have always been against Jesus. We're not saved by religion. Religion comes from a word which means to bind. Jesus came to set us free. And the religious leaders now did not want to be defiled in a Gentile hall the whole time they're planning a murder. So they are such wonderful religious people, right? And they did not want to be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee." Where's the charge? There was no charge. They had no charge. Judas was dead. That's who was supposed to bring the charge. What are they doing? They're trying to snow Pilate now. They're trying to say, hey, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have brought him here. Where's the charge? Okay. Pilate then says, take ye him and judge him according to your laws. The Jews therefore said to him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what manner of death he should die. In spite of that early hour there in verse 28a, you see Pilate's already dressed. He's in there. He's waiting for this trial. They told him when he was going to be there, and he's there ready to go. And so they bring Jesus in there, and they could not get a specific charge, just trying to snow him. And Pilate's not concerned about Jewish law. He's concerned about Roman law. And so if there is no accusation, there's no condemnation. And if there's no condemnation, there's no sentence. So he says, bye, guys. You guys go take and crucify him. And they said, we cannot crucify. We cannot put him to death. Okay, we can't put him to death because the Jews are ruling over there. And the Jews wanted to kill him for blasphemy. But Jesus had to die the way he died. You remember reading that there, signifying what death he should die. Jesus had to die the way he died. Why? How do the Jews execute? By stoning. By stoning. What does stoning do to a human body? Breaks bones. But not a bone of him should be broken. Why was it not just the Jews that put Jesus to death? It had to be the Gentiles too, because Jesus died for both, Jews and Gentiles. And it's prophecy again. Psalm 22 was written 1,000 years before this. And Psalm 22 is the crucifixion psalm. It describes crucifixion. And crucifixion was not practiced on a scale that the Romans did it until 200 years B.C. So 800 years after Psalm 22 was written, that's when crucifixion came into vogue. So Jesus had to die the way he died. Also, John 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. It's absolutely necessary, that little particle day. Absolutely necessary that Jesus, the Son of Man, be lifted up. So he had to die by crucifixion. The Rome there, God had worked out. Rome's in control. The Jews could not kill him. They would have killed him by stoning, but they could not. And so now they bring him to Pilate, trying to get rid of him, but they could not come up with a specific charge. So in Luke 23:2, it says, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Okay, now, the Jews are not stupid, folks. They're not stupid today either. You look at the Nobel Prizes, and how many of them are Jewish. They're not stupid people. The Jewish people now, they know they can't get him for blasphemy, so what do they try to do? They charge him with sedition. What is sedition? Sedition is trying to incite a rebellion against the government. He declares that he is king. Well, Pilate only has one king, and he's back in Rome. So now they're trying to get Pilate on their side to get rid of Jesus because he's making himself a king, a competitor to Caesar. You're in John 18. Look at verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I am, that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Art thou a king then? Yes, I am a king. King of what? King of truth. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But they're not fighting because we don't do things a human way. This is a spiritual battle. Jesus is the king of truth. Pilate is a politician. So Pilate comes up with a very good thing that could be said in Washington today. What does truth matter? What is truth? Another way of putting this, it's not easy to find truth, is it? But either way, Jesus was not guilty of sedition. Eh? He says, are you a competitor? Really, he says, are you a competitor to Caesar? And Jesus says, no. So verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Jesus asked him, you say this because of Jews telling you this or yourself? He said, am I a Jew? Your own nation has brought this to me. Pilate was not interested in Jewish theology. He was just interested in keeping the peace. He was a Roman procurator, procurator, however you want to pronounce it. He was the one that was over that, and he tried keeping the rebellion down. And this was Passover time. Don't forget that. So Jesus made it clear that his kingdom was not of this world. He's not after the human way of kingdoms. He says, but his kingdom is coming. It's not now, but it will come. Okay? So what's the result of this interview? Look at John 18, 38b. And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews, Pilate, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Here is a declaration of innocence by the Roman governor. Okay? We're going to see this again. And we're going to see it again. And we're going to see it again. And again. And again. And again. Mark 15:3 here gives the Jews' response. Chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things these witness against thee? But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And Pilate here is intending to let him go because he hasn't done anything. But Pilate is a politician, and he can be intimidated. He does not want the Jews stirring up trouble. So he's going to kind of try to go with them, and we'll see compromise after compromise after compromise. He's a good politician. Okay? And finally, a comment is made by the Jewish leaders that we find in Luke 23:5. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry and beginning from Galilee to this place. Now, when Pilate heard that word Galilee, he had his out. Because Pilate knew that Herod Antipas was the one ruling over Galilee up here. He was over here, but Herod Antipas was son to Herod the Great. And Herod the Great was really, truly the great from a human standpoint. We get our word hero from Herod. Herod was an Idumean. He was from down here in Edom. He was from Esau. He wasn't a real Jew. But he married the daughter of the Hasmonean line, trying to earn favor with the Jews. His brother-in-law, 18 years old, was the high priest, and so one day they're out swimming, and he just kind of moves them around into the shade of the tree with the sun over here and the shadow of the tree, and he holds them underwater, kills them. His wife knew he did that, so he tried getting rid of his wife. I mean, he's married 10 different times. He dyed his hair. He went on a different trips all the time, trying to get younger and younger and younger and all that. The guy was a nut. Okay? But he was a builder. He built everything there. You can go today over there, and they still have Herodion. They still have the towns that he built. He was truly a great builder. Spiritually, no. But physically, he was a good ruler. Well, this was one of his sons. I mean, the Herods, I don't mean to get off on all that, but Herod the Great fascinates me. He had, probably 7 sons mentioned in the New Testament. You know he named for them? Herod. He was a prophet. He had a daughter. What was her name? Herodias. Exactly right. Okay. I mean, pride and parties, those are the Herods, okay? And that's not my message tonight. I can go a while on Herod, okay? But anyway, when he heard that, now he sends him to Herod because he knew that Herod wanted to see this Jesus. How do we know that? You see in Luke 23, verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. As soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent unto Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. Okay, it was Passover again. He had to be a good Jew, even though he wasn't a full-blood Jew. He had to act like one. And so he's there observing the Jewish holidays. Okay? And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he'd heard many things of him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And that same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Folks, whenever you read little background statements like that, don't think they're unimportant. Herod and Pilate were at odds. Why? Because Herod was the one who wanted to be declared king of the Jews, and Rome never granted that to him. In fact, here comes Pilate. And Pilate is that Roman procurator, or procurator, however you want to pronounce it. And he's over him. So what did Pilate do? Pilate ordered a bunch of shields to come to Jerusalem. These shields had a picture of Caesar on them. No Jew could have a picture, no graven image. He could have no picture of anybody on there. That's why when they had to exchange their money at Passover time, they had to exchange their money in the temple money, because the normal money had a picture of Caesar on it. And you couldn't have that for temple money for sacrifices. You had to exchange it. Okay? And the Jews cheated their own people with the money exchange. But he took those shields, and you know where he put them? In Herod's palace. This guy's dad's palace. So what was he doing? He was desecrating Israel. He was desecrating the house of Herod. And Herod was Herod the Great. And so, Herod Antipas was at loggerheads against Pilate. In fact, he wrote to Rome. And Caesar Tiberius was on the throne this time. He says, you better get those shields out of there. You better tell Pilate, get those shields out of there. We're going to rebel. And so, Tiberius issued the decree that Pilate was supposed to get those shields out of there. That did not set well with Pilate. And Pilate did not, according to Herod, recognize that Herod had jurisdiction over all this. So, I mean, it was pride. Back and forth. But, how are they made friends now? Against Jesus. Isn't that strange, bedfellows? This morning we saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees completely opposite in what they believed, but the common thing was they both hated Jesus. And here we have now Pilate, a Roman procurator or procurator, and Herod Antipas. And before, they are against each other, but now they're together. Why? Against Jesus. So he sends him up there, and what kind of guilt did Herod find? Jesus didn't say anything. So what happens? He sends him back there. He gets his soldiers, and they mock him. Okay, they put this robe on him and send him back again to Pilate. So Herod could not pass a death sentence on Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything. You had to have a charge, and there was no charge. So Herod couldn't even do it. So, you see now that Pilate comes back and he tells the people, he says, I find no fault in him. He said, Herod found no fault in him. He says, I find no fault. Can you picture there that day? Here's Herod with all his finery and all his robes as the self-proclaimed king of Judea, although he wasn't recognized by Rome, but in his own mind he was, with all his finery, and here's Jesus standing there in carpenter clothes, and they put a robe on him, mock. But you know, it wasn't too long after this, within 10 years, that Herod had been banished to Gaul by Rome. He died in poverty. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So that brings us to the second trial. Second trial before Pilate. Okay, there were three phases in each one. We're to the third phase already. First one was for Pilate. Second phase was before Herod. And now it goes back to Pilate. Okay, and here's where we finish up. Here's where we spend our time. In Luke 23, verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death has been done unto him. And so now he makes that declaration again. The second one of him and the first one for Herod. Three times now, Jesus is declared innocent. Nothing wrong. Okay? But Pilate's a politician. And so he offers a compromise. He knows those Jews aren't going to accept that. So he offers a compromise. You'll see it in Mark chapter 15, verse 6. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him up for envy. So now Pilate, in his compromise now, offers Barabbas. He doesn't talk to the high priest, he talks to the crowd. And he says, Who do you want me to release unto you? Now the high priest and these Jewish leaders, they're working the crowd. They're going to tell him who they want released. But here he offers a compromise. One or the other. And they chose Barabbas. Barabbas. That's Aramaic. If it was Hebrew, it would be Ben Abbas. Bar Abbas. Bar and Ben means son of. Abba. Call him Abba, father. Secular sources tell us this guy's first name. You know what it was? Jesus. Jesus, son of a father. That's who they chose over Jesus, son of the father. Man left to himself always chooses against. And what was Barabbas guilty of? He had made insurrection with him and had committed murder. The very thing they were accusing Jesus of, this is what Barabbas had done. He'd murdered somebody against the government. And he was in jail. He was condemned to die. But Pilate let one of them go here. Well, at this time, Pilate's wife, she's a little more tender to spiritual things. She has a dream. And Pilate's wife comes to him and says, Do you have nothing to do with this just man? I've suffered many things in a dream now because of this guy. Don't have anything to do with him. But Pilate, when he got that warning from his wife, he gave the people between a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Matthew 27, verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said, Let him be crucified. So here's Pilate's second attempt, really, to try to let him go, but it's foiled. So Pilate, being a politician, he says, All right, they'll feel sorry for him if I have him scourged. So now he scourges Jesus. You see that in John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited or braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate, therefore, went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. There's the fifth time now he said that I find no fault in him. Okay? Another compromise. 40 lashes. The Romans were good at whipping people. I do not believe it is without importance that it is not physically described in Scripture. We know that these leather thongs had pieces of bone, glass, and metal tied on the end. And as they would whip, that would wrap around the body and they'd pull it back and it would just tear terribly. They didn't just do the back. They did the whole body. Feet all the way up to the head. Remember Isaiah, his visage? So marred, it didn't even look like it. Most people died during that scourging. The Jesus didn't point out because he had to die. And here now, he goes through this beating. This beating. He did nothing wrong. They found nothing wrong. Pilate, the politician, has declared five times so far, I find no fault in him. He's tried to release him, kind of intimated towards that, and the Jews said, Okay, how about Barabbas or Jesus? Which one do you want? Barabbas. Okay, well, you'll feel sorry for him if I scourge him. So now let's scourge him, and then maybe you'll let him go. But what happens? They take that crown of thorns and put it on his head. Isn't it interesting that what were thorns? Where do you see thorns? First time, where do you see them? Genesis chapter 3. It's the result of the curse of sin. And where does Jesus have those thorns? On his own head. You see, all the way through Jesus' life and Jesus' death, he's in complete control. And it's fulfilling prophecy in the Bible. Pictures, symbols, all of it. So he says, he declares him innocent again, and he tries to set him free again. John 19, verse 6. Pilate saith unto him, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now they leave that sedition charge because they can't prove that. And they're going back to that original charge. He says he's the Messiah. He says he is God in the flesh. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. They dropped that charge of sedition because it could not be substantiated. And they go back to the original charge. And so Pilate now sees for the first time their real hatred. Why they are bringing him there. And in John 19, 8 through 11, he interviews Jesus again. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And Pilate is starting to realize there is something different about this. He's getting scared. But he's a politician. He could not let him go. So in John 19, 12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Did you ever wonder why Pilate cowered to the Jews with this charge? You ever wonder, Pilate is the Roman guy. He's over Israel. But yet when they say, if you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. And what happened? We see Pilate just completely, his visage just changes. Why? Well, if you know the background here, Pilate was given that procuratorship, however you want to pronounce it. He was made the procurator of Israel by a guy that was very popular in the Roman Senate. His name was Sejanus. Sejanus talked to Caesar. Whatever appointments he wanted made were made, but Sejanus fell out of favor with Caesar. In fact, Sejanus tried to overthrow Rome. And so they killed Sejanus. And anybody that was a friend of Sejanus, anybody that had been appointed by Sejanus, now was being watched very carefully by Rome. Folks, the Jews are not stupid. They knew they had it on Pilate. If you let him go, you are not Caesar's friend. When Pilate heard that, he now sits down on the judgment seat. John 19, 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. He attempts to get him released again, behold your king. And these religious Jews, who pat themselves on the back for being so holy, so much Jehovah's people say we have no king but Caesar. What were they saying? If you let him go, Caesar's not your king. So Pilate gives in. He gives in to him. Matthew 27, we're almost done. Pilate's final attempt here to have him released ends in failure. Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Here again, he says, I find no fault in him. In fact, he doesn't just say he's not guilty. He calls him just. He calls him righteous. Here, out of the mouth of a secular ruler, we're told six different times that there was no fault in him. In fact, he is righteous. He is just. And where was Pilate when he said this? Back verse 13 says, he sat upon the judgment seat. This was the official declaration of Rome. The official declaration came from that throne of the judgment hall, the judgment seat. And he says, take ye him. And the people said, his blood be on us and on our children. And folks, it has been. It has been on the Jews. I study things from a Jewish standpoint because the New Testament's a Jewish book. I find a lot of things in there that help me understand a lot of things that a Gentile wouldn't understand. But it's interesting that Messianic Jews just say that Jesus, by that statement, only affected that generation and the next generation. Wrong. Anybody ever heard of Adolf Hitler? Anybody ever heard of today, the United Nations? There's only one country that does not ever sit on that Security Council. You can have every other one. There's permanent members, U.S., Russia, China. But you have other ones that rotate. But there's only one country that does not sit there at all. Who's that? Israel. They hate Israel to this day. And when the Jews said, his blood be on us and our children, it has been. It has been. Now, that does not mean we're supposed to run around when you see a Jewish person, you call them a Christ killer. Oh, no, you don't do that. They're God's covenant people. Jesus is not done with the Jews. And the Old Testament Jews are not the New Testament church. I know that's a common thing that's getting stronger and stronger, even in so-called Bible-believing circles. But 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. There's three distinct groups. The church is not Old Testament Israel. Old Testament Israel is a picture of the individual Christian. You can put yourself in and see. So Pilate gives a sentence, Luke 23:24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus up to their will. You see, even that final act, the substitution. Jesus, the innocent one, died for someone who was guilty. Jesus, that one who was accused of sedition, not guilty of it, died in the place of someone who had been guilty of sedition. He died in the place of one who deserved death. Folks, all of us are born sinners. We deserve death because we sin. The wages of sin is death. But that verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, does not want anyone to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.